Sprig Comics Podcast, Season 5, Episode 24.
24?
Yeah, 24.
We came up too
short.
There
was a delay. Yeah, we didn't quite make the 26. We're trying to do this podcast every couple weeks. We do about comic books, movies, TV shows, talk about all that good stuff. So, anywho, I'm Drew.
I'm Don.
I'm Scott.
And Don's remote, so if he sounds funny, that's why.
So. That's why I sound funny.
Yes.
Sure.
Sounds funny.
Exactly.
But anyway, so, are you working this week, Don?
Nope.
Cool.
I am.
Scott is. Scott just loves to work. He just doesn't want to take any time off. So he just works and works and works.
I was talking to somebody about this today. I think it's the fact that I'm just a stubborn butt munch that, you know, back when I first started in the aircraft company, you know, the aircraft business there.
Yeah.
This week between Christmas and New Year's was paid holiday time. And in fact, Christmas Eve was even a paid holiday.
Yeah, it is.
And it still is for you guys and for some companies.
But Bombardier,
got rid of that. And instead, to their credit, they did give us like a week of floating holidays, which is nice.
That's nice.
But they also, there's a whole big long story behind that. But it's always been this case in which I'm like, you guys took this away. You'd expect us to be work holidays. I'm going to work them then because... And, you know, because they try to pull this crap of going, well, we'd like to shut the plant down during that week.
Yeah.
Well, too bad, so sad. If you want to do that, then pay me holiday pay to do that.
Gotcha.
Instead of forcing me to take vacation.
So you're working at Spite, so, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I am.
Right. That's the best reason to work.
That sounds like something I would do.
Yes, I'm working because of Spite, pretty much.
I think that's the best reason for everything. For Spite.
I don't get it off either. I get Christmas and New Year's off, but I usually just use vacation for these days because my business is usually not very busy. So I'd rather be here. And then sometimes the kids are around. Sometimes the wife's off work. It's just a slow time to like chill out, catch up on some reading, just piddle around the house. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No,
that's what I take.
That's
the week
what he
off,
does.
I take the week off before and the week because they give us the week between. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take like 2 weeks.
Yeah, he cuts out
and
early,
do like nothing. So. I've been so unproductive. I haven't been reading much.
I don't know. As a supervisor, I actually kind of like this week though too because hardly anybody else is in. So it actually means I can get some reviews done, kind of clean up some stuff to prepare for the next year, get my performance reviews done. So
yeah,
it does allow, there is a, you know, some productivity that happens as well. So
it's all good.
Yep.
Are we gonna do comics first again, or you guys want to go back to the old format where we talk about movies and TV shows first?
I don't know that I even really watched anything, so
we'll do that first. That'll be fast.
Okay. I watched Reacher season 2.
I love that show.
So, and there's only 4 episodes out so far.
Yeah, I've seen all 4.
But I've watched all 4 as well. I really like it. Yeah,
it's so good.
I like the first season, and the second season is
they've kept it going.
Yeah,
I love just the way that show opened. He's like, sees that girl, and he's like, I can help you. Are you eating Chirojack? She's like, yeah, he's over there. He's got my baby in the car. He's like, okay. He just goes over and like wraps his coat around his hand and just punches through the window and knocks the dude cold and like pulls him out of the car and smashes him in the side of the car. Oh, man, that's great.
It is. It's very good.
There's just something fun about seeing this big giant guy just beat the hell out of people.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what's fun about that, Scott, but it's just fun.
Oh, it is. It is.
There's something like visceral that's just
that's
exciting
right.
and fun and just great to see. I don't know.
Yeah.
It hit the nail. I don't know. I like it a lot.
Yep.
It's really good.
Yeah, I enjoy that quite a bit.
I did watch Leave the World Behind. You may watch that.
I see that because that's on
Netflix,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw it was up there. I didn't watch it. What did you think of it?
It was
because
that's the one with Mahershala
Julia Roberts
Ali,
and
Mahershala,
right? And then it's got Ethan Hawke and Kevin Bacon has kind of a cameo.
Yeah, a little bit part. Yeah.
But it was okay. The ending was kind of, I don't know.
The ending
was kind of lame.
I don't know how you end that though, but I guess it was like, is Scott gonna watch it?
Go ahead.
not that it really matters, but I mean, like, the daughter or whatever got, like, what she wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like,
it's all about a girl's quest to watch the last episode of Friends, right?
Right.
That's what this movie was about.
Okay.
Exactly.
A girl in her quest to watch the last episode of Friends.
Nice.
But, it just happens to be difficult because there's an apocalypse going on, right?
So, yeah. You know. But I mean, as far as an ending, it's just like, whatever.
Like, the ending was kind of cool, but at the same time, it's like they never really explain anything or give you the... Right. You know what I mean? It's just so vague.
I kind of like that, though, because I guess you don't need everything, like...
Spelled out.
Spelled out.
Yeah.
Spoon-fed.
I guess.
It was fine, but I kind of went, really? That's it? Like, that's what we get? But
well, it seemed like it took a long time to get there, too. Like, it was well done, and it was enjoyable, but man, that movie could have been shorter.
Yeah.
It's a good 2.5 hours.
It is. I noticed that runtime, yeah.
And I don't know why it's that long.
Right. What about Rebel Moon?
Haven't seen it.
I did not watch it yet.
Oh, my God. What the hell is wrong with you guys?
Well, my wife doesn't want to see it.
So the reason I didn't was because Isabel's boyfriend or whatever wanted to watch it. So I think we were going to try to watch it together. And we just didn't get to on Christmas. So we were talking about meeting up this weekend maybe to watch it. So I was holding off.
Cool.
Well, so I was reading online that, like, there's supposedly maybe going to be, like, a Zack Snyder director's cut because
there's like a longer
an R version cut. And Netflix for some reason wanted a PG-13, so he had to like not do the movie he wanted.
Well, I think they just said, can you make like a PG-13 one and then do like a longer, you know, more mature cut.
I think it was the compromise. I don't think it was Netflix coming to him saying make both. I think he was like, I want to do this. And they were like, no.
Dude, I think it's all marketing. I think they did it that way on purpose.
Wouldn't be surprising. Because
then they get people to watch it twice. It's brilliant on Netflix's part and Zach's. Because it builds up Zach's brand. And it, and it like shows like Netflix gets more eyeballs for longer. I mean, and it's like they already shot it, right?
Right.
I guess you have to post-production all that, but...
And it's part one.
It's part one, yeah.
So...
But isn't, like, the uncut version going to be, like, over 3 hours or something ridiculous?
Probably.
I would assume so.
There's not quite as much slow motion as a normal Zack Snyder, but it's there.
Cool.
It's definitely there. I don't know. Like, it's not groundbreaking at all. It's got very, very close ties. It feels very much Star Wars-y. Like, it very much feels Star Wars.
Isn't just the Magnificent Seven meets Star Wars? I mean, that's basically the pitch, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, basically. I mean, there's the evil... he created this universe, world, whatever. You know what I mean? And, like... There's like this long line of kings, like royalty.
Yeah.
And it gets broken up. So then, like, people that are loyal to the king are like fighting, and other people are fighting. And it's across planets and galaxies. And so, like, the main character, girl, hero, whatever, like, she's living on this moon, farming, just living whatever. But she used to be, like, one of the main officers of this empire, and so of course the empire, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, like, can you review it without can you talk about it without giving any plot details?
Why?
Because I'm gonna watch it and you're like giving the plot away.
It's just the basic plot.
I don't know anything about it other than what the preview. I don't know that. So you're telling me stuff I don't know.
I mean, it's fine. The action is fine. It's not the greatest thing I've ever seen, but I've seen way worse. So, I mean, it's fine to sit down and watch.
It's a fun film. It's a popcorn flick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
I don't want to say anything now.
Well, you can talk about what you liked about it or what you didn't and kind of critique it. I just don't want the plot because I don't know much about the plot.
There's a couple little twists and turns in there, but it's kind of fun. What's his name? Jax from Sons of Anarchy. That guy.
Charlie Hunman or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huffman or something.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, it's very, very Star Warsy. It's almost like if Zack Snyder made a Star Wars movie.
Well, the story I heard, he pitched a Magnificent Seven Star Wars to Disney and they didn't like it, so he basically kind of reworked it into this.
And it is. I mean, it's kind of like get the gang together and go kick some bad guy's ass. So.
But no, I'd heard that he pitched a Star Wars movie and that was what this was.
I had heard that he wanted to do a Star Wars film, yeah, so.
And they said, no thanks. And so he said, okay, cool, Netflix will pay me money to make it.
Yep. To make my own, as long as I make these tweaks and things, and
yeah,
right. Well, like I said, that makes sense then, because I don't know if it's like the name Rebel Moon. It's science fiction. I kind of already had a Star Wars vibe going into it, just from the name and the sure. the genre. But it did feel, I don't know, it felt Star Wars.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like so. Anyway, it was good. I don't know. You like I say, it was fine, but I enjoyed it. It's not cool. Like I sat through it and hated it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was. And a lot of people are kind of. I saw a few people complain. It's like, well, it's so tropey. It's exactly like there's nothing original about it. It's like, well, there's nothing original about anything anymore, is there?
Right.
Very little. Yeah.
People are like, people are so fixated on something being original. I think sometimes to our detriment, like things don't have to be original. They just need to be good. You know what I mean? Like you could make a good like space epic that has a lot of parallels to Star Wars, and it could be really good if it's done well and the characters are developed and you know they give them their own voice. You know what I mean? It's like it doesn't have to be super original, it just has to be well done.
Well,
there's
and I mean,
only so
really
many
want,
stories
if you really,
out there.
If you really want to get into it, I mean, there was a little bit of Dune. You know, there's a little bit of Dune feel to it.
Well, yeah, but there's a little bit of Dune feel to Star Wars. So.
Did you know that Frank Herbert's right. estate sued George Lucas?
It doesn't surprise me.
Because they said Star Wars ripped off Dune. And they said that's why the Dune movie bombed, because Star Wars, like, took all the tropes from Dune and, like, reworked them and stole all their thunder.
I don't necessarily see that or get that.
And they had a list of like 99 like similarities or something.
I would be interested to read that, because I guess just watching both of those movies, I don't really see that, or I never noticed that. I mean, they seem like they're their own separate thing to me.
I know, until you read this list, dude.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'll send you the
list.
It's
not obvious. And not that I'm like super smart or really break things down, but
you're so smart. What are you talking about?
When something's really obvious, like I see it. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
When it's super obvious, like right in my face, then I see it. Yeah. And
Rebel Moon is super obvious.
I saw that in this, but I don't see that between Dune and Star Wars.
Yeah, that's fair. All right,
I watched something called Crater.
Crater.
Yeah, it's a Disney movie that was supposed to be made for Disney Plus. Disney had it on Disney Plus for like a month, and then when Bob Iger came in and was cutting all this stuff off the streaming service so they didn't have to pay the residuals, that was one of the things he cut. So you only had like this little time frame to watch it in. But I ended up getting a copy of it and thought, well, what the hell, I watch it. But it's kind of got the as the hot term is right now, the Amblin feel, you know, of, well, because Amblin used to make all those movies back there in the 80s, you know, that involved kids in weird situations. That's what this essentially is. It's a group of kids on the moon, on a colony, that go on their own little adventure to this crater that's on the moon. And, you know, it's, you know, what you'd expect. It's very family friendly. They do some things that are a little, you know, suspect, you know, and dangerous. And they happen to be out on the moon during a like meteor shower a bit, you know, and things. And it's got definitely an interesting ending to it. It doesn't exactly, it ends fairly happy, but yet has a little bit of a bittersweet happiness, I think, to it. But it was all right for what it was. It's not very long. I think it's like only an hour and a half. So not the greatest thing in the world, but I've definitely seen worse.
Interesting.
I also watched then Gran Turismo.
Oh, how was that?
It was freaking great.
Really?
I had very low expectations, though, going in, because I thought, how good can this movie be about, you know, a video game? But it was very enjoyable. Acting's okay. It's a bit over the top. It's cheesy. A lot of things you kind of, it had hits certain plot beats, you know, and everything else. But it's pretty well done. The racing's kind of cool. Some cool cars and things. It was better than like the last freaking half dozen Fast and Furious movies. So, you know, it's says something for it there a bit. But I liked it. I liked it. But like I said, I went in with very low expectations. And it's a bit surprising how much it's based on a true story there, and it does hit some of the beats of, I mean, it obviously follows some of the important points of this actual racer who grew up with Gran Turismo, got the opportunity to
actually race,
and turned out to be really good at it, and ended up, you know, making it all the way to the 24-hour Le Mans race, you know, type things, and getting to race in that. So,
wow.
And you know, those things really did happen. So it does a pretty good job of, you know, incorporating that in and trying to hit some of that stuff. So like I said, for something that the trailer looked absolutely stupid, and it does have its cheesy moments, you know, and things of this nature, it's pretty well made.
Huh. Well, it's by the one guy, right? What's his name?
I don't know.
The guy who did the Elysium and the other Division, whatever. It's fine. Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Right. Station something, wasn't it? Or
yeah,
I can't remember now, but
something. Anyway.
Yeah.
Cool. I watched The Family Switch, Dawn.
Oh, I seen that.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the trailer.
And you're right. The best part is the dog and the baby being switched.
Isn't that hilarious, though? The dog and the baby.
It's pretty good. I mean, you kind of like buried the lead.
I spoiled a little bit,
but it was still funny. So yeah, but that's definitely the highlight of that one. But it was fine. And then last night we watched The Family Plan.
Oh, I watched that too.
Did you know this one? What is this one?
Mark Wahlberg.
In where he's like the CIA agent, or the undercover agent?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the whole idea is he's an ex, like, a covert assassin.
Oh, okay, okay.
And he quit, and he, like, went on the lam, and he, like, got married, had kids. He's got, like, two older kids and then a baby in the family. And they
pull him back in.
And then they find out where he is, and so then they start coming after him. So he's got to somehow get his family and try and, like, escape these assassins that are chasing him without them knowing that he used to be a covert assassin, because they think he's, like, this, you know, dorky dad guy or whatever.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
So what did you think of it, Don?
I thought it was, blah. Like, there was nothing original. It wasn't funny. No. It was blah. That's what it was.
Like, it was exactly that. Yeah, it was just a very by numbers type of that kind of movie. Like, it's been done 1,000 times. Kind of like The Family Switch. It's been done 1,000 times, but there really wasn't anything even original.
Right.
I can't even count the number of times Wahlberg has played like a hitman.
It's been quite a bit where he does that type of stuff.
I mean, I thought it was well. I thought the action sequences were well done, and I thought it was well. Like, there was nothing bad about it. It just wasn't anything great about it either. It was mediocre.
Right. And I was sitting there watching it, and as I'm watching it, like, as it's getting towards the end, I'm just like, what do I want out of a movie, like, with Mark Wahlberg? You know what I mean? Or any movie. And I'm like, I don't know, but this isn't it. Like, this is not what I want. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I guess. I mean, I thought it was fine. I mean, I knew exactly what I was going to get. It's kind of like going to McDonald's. You know what you're going to get, and if you get something different, you're going to be disappointed. You know, I mean, it meets expectations, right?
It met the expectations.
Right.
I mean,
checked the boxes, but it was just mediocre. It was there.
It filled some time, you know.
Right. But it's like, oh, I mean, I knew it when the girl's like, oh, let's stop at my college that I want to go to.
Oh, yeah, like, we called that like 1,000.
She's going to go find her boyfriend, and guess cheating. What?
Yeah.
What streaming service is that on?
It's on Apple TV.
Oh, okay. That would explain why I won't ever see it.
Oh, you don't have Apple? You did have
you're
Apple.
Not anymore.
You're not missing,
had Apple
you're not missing anything, Scott.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely not missing anything. Did you watch Killers of the Flower Moon yet? Isn't that on there?
I don't think so, is it?
My brother watched that.
I thought it was on there.
I think you can rent it.
Oh.
Do you see The Creators on Hulu?
I did not.
I think it just came out here this last weekend. Right. I want to watch that. It's on my watch list, but...
Cool.
I saw that, but I don't know what it is.
It's one of those movies from, like, the director of, I think, Rogue One, but it's a sci-fi film of, you know, kind of like... in the vein of like a Terminator or Matrix or something, you know, where the robots are at war with the humans. So AI rises up, and this whole thing is where the AI has created yet a new, their next generation of stuff, and the humans are trying to steal it. So.
Gotcha. We'll probably check that out, but.
Oh, I did finally watch Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. And I liked it.
Did you? Well, that's good.
It was fun. It was a very solid Indiana Jones. I mean, it's still probably not... I mean, it's probably better than Crystal Skull, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But absolutely. I don't know if it's... I mean, it's probably better than Raiders of the... Or better than Temple of Doom, but I have nostalgia for Temple of Doom, which I don't have for this, so Temple of Doom is higher for me. But I mean, if I saw both of them for the first time, I'd probably like Dial of Destiny better.
I could see that.
But
yeah.
It definitely didn't hit the heights of like
of Raiders
or
Holy Grail,
Holy Crusade, or whatever.
Oh yeah, Last Crusade.
Last
sorry.
Crusade. That's it. Yeah. But I mean, I thought it was really pretty solid. I mean, my expectations weren't super high because everybody had kind of said it was kind of.
Well, what'd you think of his goddaughter and her sidekick? You didn't have, I mean, you found them enjoyable or
yeah,
decent
they were
enough?
Fine. She, okay. It was kind of nice that she was a little bit of a different character, like a bit of a scoundrel, not really your typical damsel in distress. Or,
that is true.
Or, you know, she kind of was a, you know, a little darker, a little more
a little
of a criminal.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was an interesting twist.
Well, that's good. Yeah, see, for me, they just fell so flat. And it just, yeah. You know, I... didn't really care for those characters at all. I mean, they were all right, but I felt like they felt a bit maybe one-dimensional. You could say that Indy kind of is too, but I don't know. It just, you know, the parts that he was in and how it started off, you know, and everything and him running through, I thought it was good. It felt Indiana Jones-like, but like I said, those characters didn't hit it for me, and then I felt just too damn long. That whole part of where they get... Antonio Banderas, and they're on the boat to try to get stuff and things. Oh my God, I felt like all that shit could have been cut out, you know, or whatever else. And the typical thing, oh wow, we got these pieces. Now they lead us to yet another, you know, or something. I don't know. We got something else to film. I'm like, oh my God, we're 2 hours in.
It is pretty much paint by numbers type of Indiana Jones movie. Yeah, definitely. But it's like within the first sequence, oh, look, we're on a train. Oh, we're right on top of a train.
Yeah,
it's like, okay. I mean, are they just out of, like, action movie, like, set pieces at this point? Like, I mean, what else are they going to do?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Tom Cruise tries so hard to do something new, you know.
Yep.
But it's hard. It's tough.
But you are right. I was definitely entertained with it. I just felt something was lacking there. And like I said, maybe it was just... connecting with some of those newer characters as well as the length just kind of made it a so-so movie for me.
I really wish they would just make movies shorter.
Yeah,
in
that
general,
is true.
I just think movies are too long right now. I mean, I feel like with streaming, and you don't have to worry about, you know, run times in the movie theater as much. I think they're just letting people just do
make
more,
a
more,
whole
more.
Type of thing.
And
whatever
it's been
else,
that way for a while. I mean,
and not really cutting the slack out,
since the mid to late 90s I feel like we've on that trend.
I know what I watched. Asteroid City.
Oh, is that good?
Oh God, I don't know. It's got its parts, but that's another one of those films in which I'm pretty sure it's over 2 hours, maybe. Maybe it just feels long for what it is. I mean, it's got this certain, you know, satire type of thing going on with it. And so when it hits on some of those things, it is pretty funny and enjoyable, but I just felt like it just drug, you know, in so many other areas.
The problem with Wes Anderson is all his movies are the same.
Exactly, and that's the thing. I mean, it feels like it's the same type of thing that I've seen before from him.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I've watched a whole lot. I think, what the hell, the Budapest one or something like that?
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
You know, type things, but... they just all freaking seem to hit the same damn, you know, themes and notes or whatever else.
I felt like his first two or three movies, it's like, oh, this is cool. It's kind of, he's got his own little voice, his own little, you know, thing. And then it's like, okay, he's just going to keep doing the same thing forever. Yeah. You know, it's like... And so, his last one I saw, The French Dispatch, that one I thought really dragged.
Did it? Yeah.
And so I wasn't sure about Asteroid City. I still like his stuff for the most part. I just...
I don't know. I just felt like it felt long for whatever reason. And it was hard to tell where to really cut at, but it just... Yeah. I think he takes a lot of scenes, you know, and where he likes to have people's, you know, monotone expressions, and he just flashes back and forth between them, you know, or whatever else, you know, or a lot of it is them just talking about nothing, you know, but in some cases you catch like some of these little funny lines, but so I don't know. It like I said, I was really involved and pretty good in the first, maybe through the first hour, but then I was like, okay, this is enough. I mean, it's hitting the same type of thing and it's just feeling like more of the same. And I was like, when's it going to end? So
that's fair. I'm still trudging through Black Mirror Dawn.
Yeah?
I feel like season 6 so far has been really strong. I'm only 2.5 episodes in, and there's only 5. But first episode was Joan is Awful. Do you remember that one where it's like they start making a Netflix show of her life as it happens?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That was kind of awesome. And then the second episode was really good. It was called Lock Henry. Do you remember that one?
Is that... Which one is it?
Okay, so this guy and his girlfriend come home from, like, film school, and they go to, like, his home where his mom is, and they're getting ready to make a movie, like a documentary, and they find, and then he tells the girl about how there was, like, a serial killer in his town. Mm-hmm. And then they decide to make the film about that, and then there's a bunch of little twists and turns from there.
Yeah.
That one was super good.
Yep.
Like, I thought that one was, like, at knocking out of the park. And the, and then the third one has started. I haven't finished it because I mostly just watched it at the gym and I've been real lazy the last few days. But it's a really cool concept. Like, there's these two guys that are like on a space mission, like an eight-year space mission. And in order to placate their families, they sink to like a synthetic person back on Earth that they can kind of live through that person when they're not doing stuff on the ship, because, you know, they have lots of downtime on the ship. And so that one is pretty cool. But it's kind of obvious where it's going. And the other problem with some of the Black Mirror episodes is they're too long. Like, some of these are like an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And like, dude, that's like a movie. That's not an episode.
It's not an episode. Yeah.
Right.
Like, keep it tight.
Right. I found I think it was, because especially the last season, isn't it?
Well, it's all over the place. Okay. Like, I mean, there's... Definitely not the first season, but like ever since season about 3, they've really let him go.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I noticed that when I was looking at some of the episodes and the times. I was like, it did seem like as each season went on that some of those episodes got longer and longer.
But yeah, so far season 6 is all killer and no filler. It's pretty good.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I liked season 6.
But I think the last two are not as highly rated, so we'll see where it goes.
Mm. Right. I know the one you're on right now. I really kind of like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the dude from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, correct. And then it's got Josh Hartnett, who hasn't been around for, you know, much for a
while. Right. But the character from the Breaking Bad, it's just so weird because it's like you're in space, right? Like there's space travel, and the Josh Hartnett character, like, he's all, I don't know, technology, famous, like living in the city. And like the other guy, he's like
out in the woods,
on a farm out in the middle of nowhere, like just back to basics and almost like keeping his woman in check kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like it felt very the dichotomy, I guess, or whatever, if that's the right use of that term, like the flip side, the reverse of both of those characters. But I don't know. I don't know why. I just really liked that episode. It was just.
Yeah. So far, it's good. I know exactly where it's going. And of course, it's going bad. Like every Black Mirror episode. You're like, yeah, this is going to go so bad, dude. And you're just like watching a train wreck. That's like every Black Mirror episode. It's like, this is not going well.
Right.
Pull up. You're going to crash. But they never do.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad you're enjoying it. And yeah, still watching.
I am done with. I mean, ready to be done with it for a while though. Watching 6 seasons of Black Mirror is a lot.
Yeah, I didn't watch all at the same time. I spread them out, so
yeah.
I was ready for more when they got more.
That's. Well, I'm sure I'll be ready for more when this is done, but. But yeah, cool. All right, any back on the comics?
I think so.
All right.
Scott, what about you, Don?
Well, yeah. Did you read much?
I read quite a bit.
All right, you should start. God. I only have 3 things, maybe 4.
I got.
I really game? Wanted to come over because I read the last volume of Berserk, so I'm so out of like sorts. What?
I forgot to read The Goon.
Oh no! What the hell?
I know. It's like, dude, I'm like on vacation. It's like my brain is just like not even working.
This is the time I used to like catch up, and I'm not even gonna catch up. I'm just making.
Yeah, and I hear you saying
you're just making a good dent into things.
A very small dent.
Yeah, I have not been reading that much, to be honest.
I'll start off then. So you guys have both read this, I believe, but Vanish by Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman.
Did you read the whole thing?
Yeah, I read the whole thing.
Did you see a big change between the first 4 issues and the last 4 issues?
Yes.
Okay, cool, because that's what Scott and I thought, too.
Yep.
Right. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't great. There was, like, it might have been early on, I can't remember, but there was one sequence. Ryan Stegman's art's really good in this.
Too bad he only drew the first half.
Yeah, I really dug his artwork, but there's that one sequence where he's got like his hand like pinned to the wall, and he like cuts off his hand and then like catches the whatever in the same motion, and then whatever, I don't know. That was cool. It was fine. Like, I enjoyed it. It was fun, but
your expectations were lowered thanks to Drew and I.
Well, to be honest, here's the thing. Like, I like to listen to you guys, but if you're talking about something that I'm gonna read,
you kind of tune us out.
Try to zone out so that I don't get stuff spoiled.
Cool. That makes total sense.
But I do know that you guys, I don't know. Like, I didn't have high expectations of it anyway, but it was fine. It was up on whatever. Let's say it took me 2 hours to read it or whatever. Like, it was fine. I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And believe me, there's stuff that I read that I did not like. Like, I read stuff that I don't like. So, and that don't stuff is like, and that stuff is like, you just kind of trudge through it, and like, then I start skimming, and then maybe at the end, I'm just like flipping through the pages, looking at the pictures, trying to see if anything interests me at that point. So, it did keep me engaged. There was one series that I read that was like that. So,
All right. Like,
I didn't want to. I'm, like, mad at myself that I, like, bought it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
been there, done that.
I'm like, this is the worst crap ever.
Wow.
Which, I don't know if you guys have read it. I don't want to talk about it, but it's In Hell We Fight with John Layman. Have you even heard of it? I think it came out through Dark Horse.
It doesn't ring a bell.
I stopped reading John Layman.
Yeah, I need to. Because this was... It's not for me, I'll put it that way. Like, it's well written, I guess, but it did not interest me in the slightest bit at all, like, from the beginning. So, and I think it was like 5 issues, and by the 5th issue I was just like looking at the pictures, not even caring about the story or the characters or what's happening. So.
I mean, I don't want to dig on the guy because he created Chew, and that's a classic book, but it seemed like, it's funny, it's like after Chew, John Layman and Rob Guillory went their own ways, right?
Uh-huh.
And Rob Guillory wrote and drew his own book, which is pretty solid. Farmhand has been pretty solid, pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's nothing...
Did he also do that Space One, too?
Space One.
Ah, golly.
John Layman did that one.
Did he?
Okay. Yeah, that was John Layman. Okay. That actually wasn't that bad. The one with the demons and the
Kind of the sci-fi, almost witchcraft, you know.
Yeah, that one wasn't that bad. But then Layman, since he's a writer, instead of doing one series like Guillory, he's done like 20 series, right? And most of them are not very great. I mean, maybe a couple are pretty decent, but, you know, the majority of them have been kind of mediocre, not great. And it's like, I wonder if he would have been better off if he had just done another long series with another artist. You know what I mean? rather than spread himself so thin. And maybe that was his plan, but nothing was quite hidden. And so he just had to keep throwing stuff at the wall until something stuck.
Right.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. But it just seemed like they were so good on Chew together, and they both kind of went different ways. And I feel like Rob really picked the better path.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I don't want to... Like, it's well done. It's well written. It just... The story didn't hit for me. I didn't dig the concept, and I didn't dig the characters.
That's not well done, Don. if nothing about it is appealing, it's not good.
But what I'm saying is it might hit an audience. I'm not the audience for that book. But I'm saying it was well written, but I didn't get into it, is what I'm saying. Like, it's not... crap, it's not slapped together.
I get it, but what I'm saying, if it doesn't draw you in, then it's not good.
But it's probably in that case, though, of being one of the things is it just more of my opinion because it didn't hit for me. It feels like it should be something that's good with the way that it's wrote and maybe other type things and paced, but yet the whatever happened into it didn't appeal to me.
Yeah,
versus right. Something in which you go, man, this thing was just a train wreck. You know, it's not written right. It's not this, or whatever. But you're right.
I agree to a point what you're saying, because let's say it's like a slice of life autobiography type book, and you're not really into that. You want something with like spaceships and action and guns. Yeah. I get that. Like Monica is a really well done book, but you probably wouldn't enjoy it because it's not your thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But and I don't know if that's what Don's saying. I think he's saying it is his thing, but it just didn't hit for him.
But it didn't hit for him because...
What I'm saying is it's not subject matter for me. What's the subject matter?
I guess I have to ask more questions. What's it called again?
In Hell or something.
In Hell We Fight.
Okay, so what's the concept? Give me the elevator pitch.
If I even remember, so it's like these... four or five kids, and they're like in hell, and they're trying to fight their way out of hell.
That sounds awesome.
Okay.
Right? Doesn't that sound cool?
Do a power bomb.
Well, I mean, doesn't that sound cool?
Well, I guess. I mean, I don't even really remember exactly what it was about because I kind of pushed it out of my mind. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But I just remember people being in hell, and I think there was something like if they make it through a certain, they go on like a journey, and if they make it, but they're like kid characters.
Yeah.
It's almost like a teenage thing.
Like Stranger Things.
It's an Amblin movie.
Yeah, it's Amblin movie. You like Amblin movies.
And it says it's Jock, J-O-K, but it doesn't look like Jock artwork.
Well, that's
like,
J-O-C-K.
Is Jock, the other Jock that I'm thinking, is that J-O-C-K?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jock is J-O-C-K. Okay.
So there's another dude that goes by Jock, but spells
it sounds like that's what you're saying, Don.
That is a popular name in Europe.
Is it?
No, I don't know.
That is so weird.
Well, because Jock is like Jock like Madonna, like it's a one word. He doesn't have a first name.
Right.
It's just Jock. But yeah, no, that's a different person. Weird.
Because I'm like, this does not look like Jock, but it says Jock.
Because Jock would not do a book with John Layman that wasn't good. Just saying.
which I guess I'm lucky because, like, I got 1 through 4, and then at the end of 4 it says to be continued, and I didn't buy anymore, so.
I'm guessing they didn't come out either.
Well, it might have, and I just stopped buying it. But,
yeah, maybe.
Which this will be great. Scott's going to love this one. This is the perfect Don did this. Do you remember that book Serial by Moore, Tony, or Terry Moore?
Who?
S-E-R-I-A-L, like serial killer.
Nope.
This came out a while ago. It was like a 9-issue series, and I had read 1 through 2, and then I saved them up.
Now, and I take it you're missing like issue 4 or something?
I'm missing number 8, yeah.
Oh, number 8. Wow.
Like I have 7, and then I have 9.
Quite the one to miss.
And 7 left off on such a great place. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that I'm not going to get number 8. And then I read number 9 and I'm like, whoa, what happened? Like, this is all different. It was still good though. I still enjoyed it. It's about a serial killer.
How do you spell that?
Like, huh?
How do you spell the book?
S-E-R-I-A-L.
Okay.
Serial. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's about a serial killer. And it's got some cool twists and turns, and then the end is kind of a twisty turn at the end too. So it was good. I liked
someone
it.
Should do like a book called Breakfast Cereal with cereal spelled like that, and be about a guy who kills you with breakfast foods.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, didn't Sandman kind of do something off that play?
Oh, maybe. That? Dang, it's already been done. Gaiman stole my idea.
With the whole cereal convention.
Yes.
Yeah, they did the cereal convention. It's slightly different than what I'm saying.
Yeah, just slightly.
Well, hey, it's a good thing that you write a comic book now, and it's an anthology, so.
I think a breakfast cereal is coming your way.
You could come up with it.
I think so. So how was cereal?
Yeah, what?
How was it?
I liked it. Man, I liked it, even though I missed a tenth of the story. I only read 90% of it, but I still enjoyed it.
Well, that's good. You know, issue 8's usually all filler anyway. It's not like anything
happened. Nah, I think this one was pretty good because it left off on a pretty critical part, and I was like, gosh darn it.
Is that an image book?
What?
Is that an image book?
No, it's Abstract Studio.
Oh, wow. What? So it's a Terry Moore book?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I said Terry Moore.
Oh, I didn't hear
he
that.
Did actually. Yeah.
That's why
you bought a Terry Moore book.
That's why I thought you would be more interested.
Does it have Francine and Cachou?
What
is Francine and Cachou in it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. This is a total self-contained story.
I kind of stopped buying his stuff.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Too much nudity for you, huh?
No, I don't know what it was. I think.
There's not any nudity in this.
I think there was, like, I was getting a little burned out because this stuff was kind of similar-ish. And then I went to, like, San Diego Comic-Con. I went to, like, a panel with him. And he basically was saying how horrible men are. And we're all horrible. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, hopefully women are going to buy your book then since I'm a horrible person.
Gotcha. Awesome.
I think I was done at that point.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. I would recommend it, cool. But I would also recommend buying the trade. That way you have all
10. Smart.
Yeah, all 10.
It's good. I still would like to finish Rachel Rising. I thought that book had good momentum. I just never finished it out. There's an omnibus.
Oh, is there? They're very well.
I'm sure there is.
But.
All right, I kind of dominated, so.
All right, Scott and I both read Superman Space Age, and I am so excited to hear what Scott thought of it. Because you loved it, and I was not as loving of it as you. So we'll see where Scott comes in, like if he really loved it or if he didn't love it.
Don loved it?
Didn't you say it's one of the best things you read?
It's one of the best Superman stories I've ever read, which is not saying a whole lot, but I did really like it.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was the mood that I was in, but I did really like it.
Okay.
Cool. Well, all right. So let's hear what Scott thought.
Power to him. I was bored.
Oh, me too, right?
God,
it's like another Superman story, and it's like this gimmick is like it's through history, but history's boring.
I don't know. I mean, it tries to hit on some things. The art's really good. I almost fall into that point of, you know, what we were talking about earlier, where this one I feel like is a matter of opinion. It feels like it's very well produced, drawn. I think there's a lot of thought going into the story. Yeah. You know, and things, but I just didn't hit for me for whatever reason.
Overwritten.
Oh God, yes. I mean, I really found myself just trying to push through, you know, and some of it. And I don't know if it's because
it's so preachy and talky, and it's trying to make this point, but it just beats you over the head with the point.
Yeah, I just felt like there was way too many words.
Like Don, did you just like it because it like tied into Crisis in a cool way?
Here's the thing. I did like that. I thought that was cool that the pariah character, whatever, shows up at the bar and he's like telling him the world's going to end in 1986. And it does. It leads right up to Crisis and then it ends. You know what I mean? But I did like the way that, like, Superman. Okay. So, like, in the movies and, like, with Superman, it's always about hope. And there's always that struggle with him like, what do I do? Like, how much do I help without taking over? Like, how do I save humanity without, like, ruling humanity, right? Like,
absolutely. That's,
and I felt like that story, that book did a really good job of portraying that.
Well, they definitely hit you over the head with it.
Huh?
They definitely hit you over the head with it.
Right. And, but I didn't feel that way. Like, I don't know. I just really, I don't know, it felt like a great super, it felt like one of the top five Superman stories I've ever read. But that's not saying a whole lot, because I don't read a lot of Superman, and I don't really like the character of Superman because of that. But I thought this was done different and well enough, and it all kind of tied together. And then at the end, like, he did, I guess I did like it, the ending, because it did tie into Crisis, and yeah. It was like a new world, and he saved everybody and transplanted and this and that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I kind of like that. But I really did enjoy the journey getting there. And I didn't think it was wordy. Like, it didn't, I wasn't ever reading it and going, oh my God, when is this thing ever going to end? It was like a page turner for me. Like, I kept reading.
No,
like, I wanted to get back to it.
It was a bit of a grind.
I didn't feel that way, but I can understand. I can totally understand why you guys did.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just the mood that I was in when I sat down and read it. I have no idea, but
it's cool.
It could be. Really. Now, like I said, it may be the same for me as well. It may have been the mood that I was in. Maybe I was wanting something a little bit quicker or whatever else, and turned out that I, you know, as I kept going, I'm going, oh my gosh, there's so many panels and so many words all over the place, and yeah. I think he's kind of telling the same thing, you know, through here, you know, and stuff. But that's the thing, is it felt like it was a very well written book. I just don't think it was hitting for me, and some of it may have been the fact that I'm not probably into the history of DC maybe as much either. I mean, I know enough of Crisis, you know, and things, but, you know, it felt like it was a bit overblown for something that by the time that it's wanting to get you to a point of decision making and stuff. But I actually kind of liked the end.
Yeah, the end was kind
of
cool.
Type of things. You know, with where it went, but I felt like, wow, you had so much build up to this ending. I just don't know if it was really needed, you know, type stuff.
Or, I understand what you guys are saying, and like I said before, I think what I really liked about that book is, like, I really get sick of the Superman hope, like, I believe in hope and I believe in humanity. And, like, how do I save them? And how do I not do this? And for some reason, I just thought that book, the way it was done, I thought handled that situation really well. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's fine.
And that's just my opinion.
No, that's very good. And I can totally see that as well.
It must have done well because they're doing a Batman version now.
Are they really?
Batman Through the Ages. I can't remember what it's called.
Basically, Batman Mike Through Allred, History. Right?
What's that?
It's Mike Allred, right?
And like, Mark it's Russell. Allred. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's probably the big sell, because that art writer, like, I don't know that I've ever heard of him before. I don't know that I've ever read anything by him before. So I think the strength of that book is Allred. And
yeah.
If you're going to do a Superman, then you might as well do a Batman. And if the Batman works, they might do a Wonder Woman. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. No, I get it.
So, I mean, it makes total sense.
I just wish DC would stop just rehashing the same shit over and over and over. If I have to read one more friggin' Superman story about, like, Superman's origin and his hope and how he came, dude, I've heard it. It's done.
Right. Well, and part of it, too, is I don't read a lot of Superman. So, like, if I get a little burst of it and it's halfway decent or it's hitting for me, then I'm going to like it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's great. More power to you, buddy.
I don't know.
I mean, you like what you like. No shade. I just, it did not hit for me quite.
Right.
No, that's why I was curious what Scott thought of it. I didn't know if I was just being a curmudgeon or if what was going on.
I guess I really did like it, and I thought maybe I figured Scott would be like 50-50. But I thought with the Mike Allred artwork, because I know you're kind of a fan of him, like, you're a Madman guy from back in the day.
I do like Mike Allred.
Huh?
I do like Mike Allred.
Right, so I kind of thought that maybe the story was good enough that you would be like at 75%. Like if I'm at 100, like you'd be at 75 and Scott would be like
50-50.
Close to 50. 50 shot. But it's cool. I get it. I totally understand.
Well, and I think that may have been part of my problem too. Maybe my expectations were up a little bit because I did see the Allred art, you know, and stuff. And I like him as well, but it just didn't quite, like I said, it hit a certain point somewhere in there where I felt like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm hardly getting through. I really felt like I was forcing myself, you know, to go because I was interested in kind of where's this going, you know, and things, but it just kind of drug in there a little bit for whatever reason.
I think a tighter, you know, more focused story would have served it well. I think it could have been.
Good. I liked some of the ideas in it by far.
It had cool ideas. I just thought it was a little overwrought.
And we're back.
All right, we're back. All right. Sorry. All right. I guess I can do something. I read three things. So one thing I read, which I guess I've read before digitally, but didn't really remember it, but I picked up a cheap trade of it at a Black Friday sale. Ooh. And I really enjoyed it. So I was like, I don't remember loving this, but... I thought I tried to read it, but didn't finish it, but it turns out I did finish it. I read Weird World by... Jason Aaron and Mike Del Mundo. Like the five-issue series they did that tied into Secret Wars or whatever, the Hickman Secret Wars. Yeah. Man, this book was so cool. Like, okay, so was Mike Del Mundo. What's that?
Was the Punisher in it?
No Punisher. So the Mike Del Mundo art is amazing because it's all like painted and it just looks very kind of artsy, fartsy. Very, very well done. And then it's a bunch of characters that I'm not super familiar with, but he just kind of throws them into this like blender and like turns them into like Weird World and makes it really cool. And then do you remember action figure line Crystar the Crystal Warrior?
Yep.
I do not.
Okay, well there's a comic book. Anyway, he ties that kind of into here as well.
Wow.
But it's just he throws all those like weird off the wall like Marvel characters that don't fit into like a big melting pot and like turns into this like amalgamation of all this stuff. Like the main character is Archon. Dude, I don't know anything about Archon except he has like lightning bolts like in a pouch in his back, right? Like that's about all I know. But it's just really cool. It's like a fun kind of crazy adventure stories of this crazy world, and he runs into like man things and Morgan Le Fay and that other chick, and it's like it's just all over the place. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was just a fun, just crazy, you know, it's only five issues, so it's perfectly paced. It's just the right length. It's just a lot of fun, and you don't need to know what all those things are, but some of the stuff hits a little better. Like, especially the Crystar stuff was kind of cool. Because I remember having, like, those action figures and stuff and reading that comic back in the day. It was, like, a big deal. Because, like, the first issue was, like, 40 pages on, like, Baxter paper. And it was, like, $2. You know, it was, like, crazy expensive for the time. But,
right.
It's cool. But, no, it was really fun. And, I mean, you can't really go wrong with the Mike Del Mundo art. But, I don't know, dude. It just really hit for me. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
So, good.
But yeah, I don't know why I didn't really remember reading. So here's my theory. So I used to read a bunch of stuff digitally. If I read something digitally, my brain absorbs it differently than if I read something in print. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it's the page turning or the tactile feel somehow zones me in more to like be more focused or whatever. Or maybe it's just that, like, usually when I'm, like, looking at an iPad, I'm kind of like, skimming, like, the web or internet articles. And so, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not really reading. And so it's, like, having a physical book of something just hits different. I think that's why I've started not reading a lot of digital comics, just because I think the print is just a better experience for me in general. And I don't know what it is. It's, like, an intangible thing I can't quite put my finger on, but it's just, and it may just be me personally. Like, some people probably read digital stuff and it's just the same as print. But for me, there's just something different about it.
Really?
And so, but yeah, Weird World. Pretty cool, man. Pretty good stuff. Nice.
I read that when it came out. Like, I bought the issues.
Yeah.
But when did it come out?
I don't remember it. Wasn't that, like, all part of the Secret... You probably already said this. It's part of, the, like, the Secret Wars.
Yeah, it's right? Probably Hickman's Secret Wars or whatever.
The Hickman Secret War or whatever? Yeah,
correct. And it,
okay.
But you can read it as like its own, and it doesn't really. I mean, it ties into that a little bit, but barely at all.
Right. You know, well, it's like that's a what most of that tie-in shit is anyway.
Like 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
All these events that they do now, it's like all that tie-in stuff. It's like doesn't even
tie in really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really just an excuse for Aaron and Del Mundo to make some cool, weird fantasy comic. I mean.
Right.
And then for Jason Aaron to play with some toys that he probably liked when he was a kid or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. And then it's kind of interesting, though, like I told you, with the Punisher, when Aaron did that, and he threw him into that world. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
Aaron
told me that, yeah.
Book, and then he's, like, throwing the Punisher, Frank Castle Punisher or whatever, yeah. Into that world. So it's kind of like a neat tie-in, whatever, 3, 4, 5, whatever years later. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's going back to that, so...
Correct.
Kind of true.
Yeah. And I guess they made a second Weird World like series, and like they let Sam Humphries write it and got like a different artist. It's like, I hate it when Marvel does that. Like, they have something that's kind of cool, like a flash in the pan, just a cool little thing. They're like, oh, it was kind of successful. Let's throw different people on it and, you know, milk it for a little bit more, you know? It's like that we got to milk everything for everything it's got, like squeeze every ounce of juice out of something. You know?
Well, yeah.
Rather than just let it kind of exist and be something cool, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, that's true for everything, right? Like, all media, not just comics. It's like movies, TV shows, you know? It's like, oh, Yellowstone's a really good show. What if we made 10 Yellowstone shows?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's... Okay, I mean, it's gonna be hard to make 10 Yellowstone shows that are all as good as, like, the first one, but okay, you can try it, I guess.
No, it's all easy, man.
Walking Dead's great. Let's make 5 other Walking Dead shows because, you know, that's what the world needs, you know?
Yes.
We can barely keep the quality up on one show, but let's make 5.
Right.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Anyway, but, you know, it was really enjoyable. But like I said, I think I was just in the right mood. It was a quick read. It was just something that kind of hit. So, all right, back to you, Don.
Me?
I think so. Because we had Superman, Space Age, Weird World.
Okay, so I really want to talk about this. I really did like this. I finally finished Deadly Class.
Oh, I bought the omnibus of that.
Have you read the ending then?
I have not. I bought the omnibus, so how would I have read it? I'm sorry, the compendium.
I don't know when the omnibus comes out. I don't know.
Oh, sorry. It hasn't come out yet.
You just said I bought the omnibus.
I'm sorry. I pre-ordered the compendium. It's all like 50-some issues.
56.
Yeah, I only read the first 2 trades.
Gotcha.
So don't spoil anything past that.
Okay. Well, this is the last 2 story arcs.
Oh, nice.
So it's 45 to 56. I thought... They did a really good job with it. I really liked the ending. I thought he landed it, stuck the ending, you know, whatever you want to call it. It was pretty cool. I dig it. Like, I liked Deadly Class, like, the whole way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And these last, I guess, 10, 11 issues, however many it is, 12. Can't do math. 45 to 56, the last 2 story arcs.
Yeah.
I thought were really great. The last one was really good. And it was interesting to read it because they probably won't have this in the compendium, but like the letter columns, like the reminder at the end, like when he talks a little bit, because this story was really based, I guess, a lot. Like he wasn't in an assassin.
Are you sure?
Or anything. But, like, he based some of the stories, like, on things that happened to him when he was, like, growing up and, like, all the music. Like, music plays a big part. Like, the punk music and the scene. Like, all that stuff. And so, and also, like, they did the TV show, which bombed. It only went for 1 season, didn't get renewed.
Yeah.
And so that was, like, he's poured a ton of time into that. And he talks about some of that stuff, you know, in the back and some of the letters that he answers and things like that. And so I think, and then COVID happens around this time too. So he's like stuck at home. He's like got this TV thing that he spent all this time on. And it's like almost a struggle for him or whatever to like finish this book.
Sure.
And he did finish it. And like I said, I thought it was really, I enjoyed it. I liked it. Have you read any of the Deadly Class, Scott?
Yes.
I think he read the first two trades I had.
Yep.
Two trades?
Yeah. It was pretty good. I really like Wes Craig's art. That was kind of the...
Oh, yeah. So good. The art's so good. The fight scenes and these things, like, this book is just, it's perfect. And hey, this book is about kids, right? And I just talked about the book about the kids in hell, which I couldn't stand. So I do enjoy.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. You like kids' stories.
What?
You like kids' stories.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
If they're done. Yeah.
That's my point. So, yeah.
Right. So anyway, I'll be interested to see what you guys think when you finally get to sit down. Because you've only read probably the first 12 issues then, right?
Probably.
First two trades are probably 10 to 12 issues.
And I'm just
guesstimating. You haven't read hardly any of it.
Yeah.
It kind of ties everything up. Most of the characters get an ending, and whatever. So I mean, I was really happy with the way the book came together, the way it ended, and everything. So it was good. It's a good series.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to it. Does Reminder, it seemed like that's about the time Reminder was getting kind of wordy, but then he's kind of pulled that back a little bit. Is it super wordy? Like preachy? Over too many words?
Not really. Like, I didn't notice it. I mean, okay. I think he gets, and I don't know, like, I guess people that are in the 80s or 90s or the whatever, like, there's a lot of the music and music snob or... This isn't really punk, you know, like Nirvana. Yeah. This, so I mean, it could get a little bit of in that sense.
I'm fine
but
with
as
that.
Far as like,
I like music.
But as far as like, do this, do that, you know, this is bad, this is good. Like, no, I didn't get any sense of anything preachy.
And it's not so much preachy, just wordy. Like, hits you over the head with the theme and the point of the story.
I didn't notice that, but I didn't notice that, you guys, the first 12.
Correct. Yeah, but this was kind of
you guys notice it sometimes more than I do, but I notice it when it's there, really, really blatant. Like, I've had that experience before, and I didn't have that with this.
Cool. I'm looking forward to reading the compendium. So.
Yeah.
Coolio.
Nice.
Oh, I got my second Ultimate Collection of Savage Dragon yesterday from the comic book store.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So. I'm glad he's still doing those.
Yeah, I hope he keeps it up.
I do too.
Be nice. All right. I think we're back to Scott.
I read Frankenknot.
Frankenknot.
Volume 1.
What did you think of Frankenknot, our own homegrown superhero?
I know, and I really wanted to like this, and
it just
didn't hit for me.
Oh, that's cool.
I think the art's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's got a cool little style there, and I like the sci-fi type stuff in it, but it feels, it's got a certain, you can tell this is somebody like cutting their teeth, you know.
Sure,
stuff.
Sure.
You know, it feels a bit rough.
Did you feel like it got better as it went? Because I mean, he started to get more issues under his or more pages under his belt.
That could be that. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I think the problem was that by the time I had gotten so far in, I was already starting to
lose interest. Yeah,
you know, type stuff.
That's fair.
I do feel like there was some stuff that, you know, that was getting pretty good there towards the end, but. I also, on the flip side, was kind of like, I just don't know that I'm...
It's not for you.
But I'm like, I wouldn't miss it if I don't read anymore either.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Type of things.
That's fair. I guess if I only had one criticism, I mean, I wish... Sometimes it was hard to figure out exactly what was going on. Did you have that trouble?
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's got this whole, like, world that he's built, but then he doesn't explain a lot of it. Like, he kind of tries to get it all to you through context clues.
Yep.
And I feel with the complexity of it, a little more kind of laying it out for you might be helpful.
A little bit of background or even some flashback type of things or something to try to give you a little bit better idea of this character, I think, a little bit, you know, and some things, you know, he is throwing, like, little hints to your point, but...
Yeah.
I still just didn't get the feel like I really understood where this character fit in the whole big scheme of things and what the hell they were really doing, you know, especially early on.
Yeah, early on it takes you a while to kind of figure out,
what's even going on?
Like, why are they doing this?
Corporation. So, like I said, after some of that and going, I really, you know, getting that lost feel is okay to a certain point, you know, as you're throwing them some things.
Sure.
But, you know, having it where you're kind of lost and not really, you know, hopefully giving them some context type things, I was starting to lose way. And then by the end, I was just kind of going, well, this is kind of cool. I like some of this stuff, but I think I'm already checking out.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately.
For me, it got better when he introduced that other female character. And they
absolutely.
Tag teaming a little bit. And they had that banter. I thought that really gave it a shot in the arm a little bit.
Yeah.
For me, that worked pretty well. Have you read Frankenot, Don? Like the newer stuff?
I've read some of it.
Sure.
And I think I ordered that book, but I don't know.
Sure.
Don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I'll find out when I get my next shipment. But I think if I saw it, I bought it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so weird because, like, I know, like, when I first met John, I'm sure I bought, like, the first issue.
Yeah.
And then it just seemed like he went into a weird place where he wasn't making them, and then he redid it, and then it was like the revamp number one. And
I think there's been iterations of it. Like, it's not just one number one. There's been versions of it, right?
Right. And so I think I finally just kind of gave up on it until he was going to, like, get with it or do a collection or whatever. So I have read some of it, but I haven't read all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like the first thing we read was more like an ash can, and then he did like a full issue kind of and redid it, and then I kind of lost track of it because he kind of stopped showing up at the shows, you know, and so, yeah. But then he finally put the trade out. So the trade's nice because it kind of collects all that stuff in the final version, sort of, you know.
Right. So I'm going to wait and see if I get it, and if I don't, I would like to borrow yours to read it because I do
want to read it. Oh, that's cool. I read Onyx by Chris Rial and Gabriel Rodriguez.
Ooh.
So I have no idea what that is.
All right. So it's like Chris Rial, he's a big ROM guy. And I think for the longest time, they couldn't get the rights to ROM. And so he kind of created his own sort of like take on ROM. And he got Gabriel Rodriguez to draw it, who is the guy who drew Lock and Key.
Okay.
He's a phenomenal artist. And so he basically takes it really is just a ROM. It's kind of like how Rebel Moon is Star Wars. This is basically ROM, right? Like, there's this armored, like, alien who comes to the Earth because it's being infected by an invasive species which is taking over people. And so the alien is going around trying to kill this alien species which is taken over. And so he's going around killing humans who have been, you know, taken over by this thing and teaming up with humans. And basically, it was a bit of a grind. Like, I really like Gabriel Rodriguez's art. But, I mean, once again, Gabriel Rodriguez is a really good artist, but he's not super flashy. You know what I mean? And so, in order for a book like this to work, he'd almost need to be a little more flashy, because the story itself is not super original. So, I mean, you really want the art to be grab you and kind of take it to the next level. You know what I mean? Like Rebel Moon, like, it's got to have really good visuals. Like, if it's like a really kind of, if it's just a Star Wars movie, but it just doesn't really look that fancy, it's not really going to do much for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of how this book is.
Through?
What's that?
Who is this published through?
So originally, I think it came through IDW, because I think Chris Rial was like the president of IDW or something, or the publisher.
Didn't he do the ROM when they had the license?
Yeah, he did the ROM book as well, yeah. But then he didn't, but I think he owns this. It's creator owned. So then they put it out through Image, basically, as like a trade paperback or whatever. They call it a one shot, and it's weird because the cover, feel that cover stock. Isn't that weird for a trade paperback?
That is really weird for a trade
paperback. Yeah, it's almost like, it almost is a one shot, but it has like four issues in it, and it, but like the cover stock is more like, it's square bound, but the cover stock is more like comic book cover material. It's a very strange format. But anyway, it was okay. Like, I mean, there was nothing bad about it. It was solid. It just didn't really... After reading... I read Weird World, then I read this, and I was like, I like Weird World a lot better. But, you know, whatever. It's fine.
Whatever. Teach their own.
That's right. It was solid, just didn't blow me away.
It didn't sound like it was that solid.
I mean, there's nothing bad about it. Like, it's well written, well drawn. It just didn't... grab me. All right, Don, what you got?
Okay, so I'll do this one pretty quick because I wasn't as thrilled. But Stillwater, I finished that series up. I read basically issues 8 through 18, and there was a special in there. So
remind me of the creators of this.
This sounds familiar.
It's
this
Chip Zdarsky and Ramon K. Perez on artwork.
All right, so Zdarsky.
Yeah, Zdarsky. So basically the setup of this story was that there was this town in the middle of nowhere or whatever, and if inside the boundaries of that town, you couldn't die and you didn't age. So you were basically immortal. But you had to stay inside the boundaries of that town. If you left, you would age, you could die. And so, do you guys remember this at all?
I vaguely
remember.
It does
sound familiar.
I remember you talking about it before. So is it done?
Yeah, it's done.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's done. It could be done more, but it's done.
Okay.
It ended. And so this is more or less, like, they don't let people in. They've kind of just disappeared. They kind of just live under their own rule. They have, like, a sheriff and this and that. And so, obviously, in this book, there's some people that don't like who's running the show, and they want to run the show, and so there's this, you know, take over the
power
town.
Struggle.
There's a bunch of kids that live in there that are, like, 40 years old, but they're stuck in, like, a 10-year-old kid body. And so they kind of, I think, like, in the next to the last arc or the last arc, like, they try to take over the town. And then they figure out, like, why the town is that way. Back in like the 18, are you guys ever gonna read this?
It sounds kind of interesting, but probably not. And by the time I read it, I won't remember anything.
Okay, so back in the 1850s, there was like this lady, and she basically did some witchcraft or whatever, and like she mixed her blood with some ink, and she drew the city on a map. And they found out that they could change the map. If they drew on the map a new boundary or whatever, then it extended it. And so they got, once the kids take over, they thought that what the town needed was more, because it got pretty boring, so they needed something new. So they rewrite the map and they include another town, like a neighboring town. And so all of a sudden, like, these other people are, like, in this town, and now they can't leave, and this other town has kind of come in and take over and told them. So there's this whole thing with the war with that town and this town kind of thing in the last arc. It was fine. It started out, like, a really good concept, you know what I mean? It was interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like they kind of didn't really stick the landing on this one, like you guys like to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine, but it felt kind of, I don't know. It didn't hit it the way I probably thought that I would hit it.
Gotcha.
It wasn't bad. It just kind of got monotonous, because, I mean, I read like 15 issues of Deadly Class, and like I was in everyone, like I was there.
Yeah.
This one, when I started to kind of get towards the end, I'm kind of like, okay, like the art's cool, story's all right, but let's just get this over with.
Gotcha.
kind of thing. Not a total grind, like I hate it, but yeah. It kind of got to be, let's get done with this so I know what happens.
All right, then I probably won't get it. You didn't sell me.
I don't know. It's one of those books that I think Scott would kind of dig, because I know Scott's not really into superhero stuff. I know he's not really into horror stuff, really. I think this would be like a series that would have a chance that Scott may enjoy it. You know what I mean?
I could see that. Cool. It definitely sounds like an interesting concept, so.
Right. It is. I feel like they didn't, and this might just be me, like, I feel like, and I don't know how I want the story to go, it just felt like it didn't go where I would have wanted the story to go or where I thought the story. Does that make sense? Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay. But it wasn't done poorly. It wasn't done horribly.
Sure.
I think it was what you guys have been talking about. I think maybe it was overwritten. I think maybe they could have done it in less issues or whatever. You know?
Yeah. Fair.
So, but anyway, not terrible. Didn't hate it. It was fine.
I hope you're ready for Scott's next review, because it's our comic book.
So.
I don't know if I can handle like my critiques about my own work.
I kickstarted this cool book and got it this week.
Wow.
I could not wait. I read it this morning.
He even read it. Wow. That's pretty impressive.
He even read it.
I wonder if he fell asleep while reading it.
I love your signature there, Don. That is really nice. And you put it in a nice spot, easy to see, read, all that things. And then I get some silver scribble at some dude's feet. I'm not real sure. I'm like trying to wipe it off and it just stays there. But
wow.
Rough.
That's kind of rough. I mean.
So I like the good.
Good.
Well, I like the adventures of... I really like the first one, The Adventures of Riley Gideon. I think there's a certain amount of humor in there. The art is so fantastic. It just ends too damn quick. I mean, it is a true teaser, and I'm teased. I want to know more. I mean, because it just feels like it's over so dang quick. But there is just some really great stuff there. Something, though, I think you're like little page numbers or something, and maybe you didn't care, but...
It's part of the trick. It's part of the gimmick.
It's part of the gimmick. What is it supposed to be like a choose your own adventure?
That's page 9. Yeah, it's like a choose your own adventure, but we're choosing it for you.
Okay.
So it's jumping around.
Okay.
So he's like in a choose your own adventure book.
I didn't quite catch that, even if you told me that before.
It's not supposed to be revealed until the end of the first story. You guessed it.
But yeah.
But I did throw that in there in case people would pick up on it. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. Cool.
So that is intentional.
Fallen Stars, not too bad. It was, believe it or not, this is the one that you would think that would appeal to me the most, but I felt like it was a little, almost the weakest of the three.
Dang.
And the coloring on this one is just too dang dark.
It's very dark.
It is.
It's supposed to be kind of a darker, grittier.
I can definitely see that. No, you know, type things. It just, I feel like it took away some of the art that this artist did. I mean, I really like that like little spot where the gets shot in the head, but I mean, it's so dark and everything. It's like some of that detail I feel like is kind of missing there a bit.
Sure.
So, but there again, and it just ends like so abruptly. I mean, I almost need like the thing that says to be continued or something. You know, you know, type stuff. Fair. So it's like, what? What happened? Sure. And then Jake Ford, I honestly really like this one too. Cool. I almost like this one from a story perspective more than the Gideon one, just because of the fact that the Gideon was just over, so quick. I mean, it was true, just tease. Whereas at least the Jake Ford one, it feels like, while it's a tease because it's only a couple, I mean, it really gets like a kind of middle, beginning, and end. And
I feel like it was the whole story. It was hard to do like a whole story in 8 pages, right?
Oh, it really is. But you get a nice, like, almost little, like, what would you say? Like, almost that Sunday comic type of feel or something. I don't know what it was.
Sure.
But, and I really liked this art on this last one, too.
Yeah, I found
something about it. Because, I mean, with your story and kind of this a little bit over-exaggerated cartoony type of thing, but by far my favorite was the last one. And I felt like it all came together. Good coloring, good art, good story. You gave a nice little brief thing there at the beginning. The only thing maybe at this one was here again, maybe another thing of to be continued, you know, or something at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, as a first effort, I think it's really pretty good. You know, kind of throwing some stuff out there.
Yeah. Just threw a bunch of ideas at the wall.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad that you didn't hate it.
Yeah, and I admit that through the ash can or whatever, I think I had, you know, especially with the Riley one, I was already pretty familiar with that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe that's why I like the Jake Ford one the best.
Because it was brand new.
Because it felt brand new to me. Correct. You know, the other type two things. And the other two I had already seen quite a bit of.
Yeah, that's fair.
So. Yeah.
Cool. And thank you for buying.
Yes, thank you for kickstarting it. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No problem. Anytime there. So, shoot.
So, yeah.
Pretty cool, guys, though. I'm glad to see that you got it there. And, you know, I think you did well in your choosing of, like, paper and stuff of that nature. It's got a nice feel. Yeah,
it's not too thick, but it's,
I would have liked the cardstock, you know, cover.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that next time. This cover does
work perfectly for what you're doing here. It's got a nice, slick feel, and it definitely feels different from the others. So.
Yeah, it's hard to decide.
I wonder how was you signing that, though? I mean, with that slick as this cover is?
Just Sharpies. What?
But you didn't seem to have much of a problem at all?
As long as the Sharpie was fresh, it worked fine. If it was, like, starting to run out, it was really hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Wondered about that.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Yes, well, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks for not crapping on it too bad.
Oh, gosh, no. I actually enjoyed this more than Frank and I.
Well, it's a different beast, right?
It is.
Different short little stories.
Yep.
But, yeah. Cool. All right. I guess it's me. I read Big Game. Just picked this up the other day.
Do you know
what this is?
It's sitting right there. I'm going to read it next. So don't ruin it, but talk about it.
Well, Scott's going to read it because he has to. So I won't spoil anything. So the idea of Big Game is Mark Miller said, hey, what if I took all these Creator Owned series I did and tried to bring them all together into one big, like, five-issue balls-to-the-walls crossover series?
Okay.
And he actually kind of pulls it off. Like, I'm like,
really?
That's pretty hard to do in five issues because he really throws everything in here. Like, I mean, Huck and Superior and, I mean, stuff going way back. You know, he even brings, like, Kick-Ass, which I don't even know how he did that because I thought he didn't have the rights to write that. Like, I thought Netflix said you can't write Kick-Ass comics because we don't own it. He even brings the new stuff in, like the Nightclub and the, all that stuff. And it goes all the way back to, like, Wanted. Like, do you remember Wanted?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it goes all the way back to that. He's got, like, Chrononauts in here, Starlight, Hicker, all that stuff, Magic Order. And so he really pulls it all together and kind of pulls it off. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but the way it's going, you're like, well, are you just breaking all your toys type of thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, dude, it's Mark Miller. So, you know, there's going to be like a big like twist or something, you know, you can see
exactly
a mile away. But I mean, it was well done. It wasn't like too over the top or too ridiculous. I mean, it's kind of cool how, because all his series are so different. Like, he's got, like, you know, Empress, which is sci-fi, you know.
Right.
And then he's got, like, Chrononauts. Well, and then,
what about that Bounty Hunter? Is that...
Yeah, he even brings him in at, like, you know, the end or whatever. Sharky,
no kidding.
The Bounty Hunter.
There you go. Sharky or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, so he tries... I mean, some of those characters only get, like, a couple pages or whatever, you know, like one sequence or whatever, but... He really does try to get everything in there, and it doesn't feel too forced. Like, it kind of makes sense with the story. Like, he comes up with a story that kind of justifies why he would do it. And I don't know if Scott ever read it, but I'm sure you did, Don. That old 1986 series that he did for Marvel. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. That was him.
Yeah. And so that kind of plays sort of a big part in this as well. And I didn't really remember that series that much.
Really?
And so... it's almost like I hadn't read it. And so I think that maybe detracted like a tiniest little bit. But I mean, he explains what he's doing with that concept anyway well enough that you don't really need to read it. But it's good. And the art is by Pepe Larraz, who's kind of like Marvel's big guy right now. He kind of pulled him away from Marvel to do like a five-issue thing. And
oh, really?
Pepe Larraz is great at that kind of over-the-top superhero. What's amazing is he's got all these characters, and he's trying to tell this story, And I mean, Pepe Le Raz, he does big splash pages, and I mean, really, I mean, he's really got a hard job as trying to fit all this story into this. I guess there's not that many splash pages, but there's big panels, and there are some splash pages, and you know, it's not like a Watchmen where there's like a 9-panel grid type of thing, you know.
Right.
And so Miller does a good job of just stripping it down to its bones, putting just what's in there needs to be to kind of keep this thing going. And I feel like
he's a bit of a master of the pacing type of things.
He is, and I mean, I guess the most impressive thing is that he pulled it off, period. You know what I mean? And then the second impressive thing is that it's actually pretty good. You know what I mean? He pulled it off, he got all that stuff in there, and it's pretty decent, you know? I mean, it doesn't help to have great art. I mean, it doesn't hurt to have great art. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I just read it today. It was a fun kind of afternoon read. It's super quick to read.
Cool.
But yeah.
Well, he is the savior of modern comics.
That's true.
Is he?
In his own mind, maybe.
He's had this thread on.
Yeah, he's basically trying to say what they need to do to save Marvel and DC comics and save comics in general. Because comics are dying. You know, every 5 years, comics are dying.
Of course.
It's all good.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so...
So we're out. You guys can talk about The Goon. I just forgot to read it. So.
No, I have like 3 more things real quick.
Cool. All right, let's knock them out.
I'm not done. I read the Unstoppable Doom Patrol. It was a 7-issue miniseries. Yeah. The main draw... I liked Doom Patrol, but the main draw was Burnham. Chris Burnham on art.
Oh, yeah, cool.
It's good. I mean, it's...
Who writes that?
I met him at Colbert. I don't know that he's ever done anything. I've never heard of him, but he was at that Dennis Colbert.
Dennis Colbert, okay.
He was at the Mountain City Con with cool. Chris. They were.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've heard the name. I couldn't tell you what he's written, but I know he's done some
right.
stuff.
It's fine. It's just it's kind of like almost that Peacemaker tries real hard or whatever. Yeah. Like it's kind of like that. Hard. Just kind of fun, kind of campy. Yeah, not campy, but just kind of fun. But the Burnham art is the big draw on that.
You're cutting out a little bit.
Sorry.
Did you go to like the basement or something?
Yeah, I am. It was originally supposed to be 6, but they added an issue. Okay. But then they added in, like, a guest artist. So Burnham didn't do all 7, so...
Damn it, man.
I don't know what happened. Was that. I also read Spy Superb.
All right, you're going to say that again, because you're starting to cut out or something.
Sorry. I also read Spy Superb by Matt Kent.
Superb. Oh, more spy. Is it in the whole thing of like a super spy and?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a free issue. They're self contained super.
All right, you're cutting out too much.
God. No. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sounds like you're moving all the time. Stop moving.
Okay. The concept of this story is that the spy Superb, which is he's a ghost, just a legend, like he's the best super agent, but it's not even a super agent. It's a stumbling dude that just
we're getting like every few sentences. Let me try hanging up and calling you right back. Or he can hang up on me.
Or maybe we just lost him entirely. We should FaceTime.
How about now?
Yeah.
Wow, you sound so much better.
So much.
Okay. Still?
I guess.
Okay. All right, so basically it's just the Spy Superb
is a ghost. Is like,
yes, and so there's some, they send somebody to try to get him, and then that it just turns into, he ends up finding one of the people that are supposed to kill him, and he ends up working with her. But the funniest part about this book is, like, one of the, I think he's from Russia. He's like Russia's greatest super spy.
Okay.
And his name is Roche Shambo. And so it's rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
So, like, he kills with scissors. He makes origami paper throwing stars that he puts poison little needles in. And then he is, like, broken all the bones in his hand or whatever at one point. And so it's been replaced with, like, titanium. So that's the rock. So he can, like, punch through, like, concrete or steel or whatever. So I just thought that was clever. One of the characters' name is Rochambeau. So, but anyway, if you like Super Spy, if you like Matt Kent, this story is three issues, so it's almost very straightforward. Like, it's not like Mind Management where you're trying to figure stuff out. It really is pretty straightforward. But I enjoyed it. It's good. Matt Kent draws it, so it's Matt Kent art. I enjoyed that book. And then the last thing that I read that I wanted to talk about was when at Air Capital, Jim Lawson, he had a trade paperback. I think he did this as a Kickstarter. I don't know, but it's called The Box City Wallops. It's a trade paperback with like seven issues in it. And then he also had another single issue of The Box City Wallops, which is a single issue. I bought both of those from him. This is pretty good. I mean, it's kind of played out, but basically there's three characters in The Box City Wallops. There's a lady character, there's kind of an alien with like a cyclops one eye, and then there's like a gray, what do you call him? Like an alien, like a UFO alien, like the gray guy, you know what I mean? Like the weird head and the big eyes. But so in the future, or in this whatever world, each town kind of has their own superhero team to protect them. So it's kind of been done before, kind of like, was that Powers that did that?
Well, I don't know. Hmm. I mean, it's been done a few times.
But anyway, so that's what this story is about. In seven issues, it's about these three characters, and they're from Box City, and their names are called Wallops. So they're the Box City Wallops. Okay. And it's fun. I mean, I like Jim Lawson artwork, so it's classic. I mean, it's Jim Lawson artwork. It's good. It's just fun comics, you know what I mean? It's nothing groundbreaking. It's just this superhero group. And then there's, like, another superhero group from, like, a neighboring town that they're kind of rivals with, so there's a little bit of play in there. There's, like, big alien invasions, things like that. So I liked it. It was fun. And then the single issue that I bought, the special or whatever, this one was kind of interesting. So there's like this, it's almost like a unicorn looking creature, like shows up at the city. And so at Box City. And so they're on their way to go fight him because they think they're going to have to fight him. And like all the police are there and everything. And it turns out they go up to get him and he's like a happiness alien. And so when he's in that town, like, everybody's happy. He's like a joyful creature. And so it's funny because it gets kind of into politics, and it's got a Donald Trump character in here who is the president. What did they call him? I can't remember. It's not Donald Trump, but anyway, it gets a little bit political, but not preachy. It's funny. And so, like, they're having a city council meeting, and like, nobody's buying insurance. Nobody's going to work. They're all, out, like, having picnics because they're spending the day with their family and, like, being happy. Like, nobody's buying liquor, so all the liquor stores are going out of business. Nobody's buying any drugs or anything. And then at the very end, of course, some militant guy who's against, you know, he's all pro-guns and everything. He, like, comes in and, like, kills the animal creature or whatever, shoots him. And so then everybody goes back to not being happy. So they had a utopia for a little while. But I dig it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Okay. I talked a lot. You guys didn't say anything, so.
We were listening.
Oh, okay. But your kids would like it, Drew.
No, they wouldn't.
No?
They don't even like comics anymore.
Oh.
Really?
Well, maybe a little bit, but
anyway. It was good. I also read, which I wanted to come, I read the final installment of Berserk.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Cool.
And there's only two chapters. There's only two. And then, like, the third part of it, the last third of it, is all, like, some...
Oh, so you read the new book.
Yeah, I haven't read yet.
Okay, cool.
The last of this, that creator.
Yeah.
Like, up to that point.
Yeah.
It doesn't end.
Of course it doesn't. He died.
But I was, in the back, like I said, it's kind of like a guidebook. There's, like, every character in there and, like, attributes and just, like, a whole thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's an interview with the creator before he passed away.
Yeah.
And they were talking to him, and he was like, they were like, well, now that you've done this epic blah, 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 like, where do you see this book going? And he's like, well, I think I finally see it finally coming to a head as, a like, a final meetup. Or confrontation between Guts and Griffin. I'm like, okay, cool. Because we don't get that, obviously, because I just ruined that. So, yeah, we don't get that in the last two issues.
Oh, no, I'm sure. I wonder how long, much longer he thought it would go.
I don't know. I didn't read the whole interview. I just kind of skimmed it. And then that was, like, one of the last questions. And so I read that. But
I hope he had an outline.
Right.
Because that worked out so well for Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, do you want us to wait on Goon?
No, go ahead and do the Goon, knock it out. I'll just read it and then read the next one. I don't want to slow us down. Honestly, I'm ready to be done with the Goon.
Really?
Wow. No,
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. No, go ahead and do it. Because I have time. I can catch up. And it's not like I've read it before, so it's not going to spoil anything. I mean, it's the Goon.
Right.
So go ahead and talk about it, and I'll read it and see what
I think. Is this the one with the... That kind of got a little artsy, didn't it? Where he does the superhero... One.
Yes, he does the... Well, it's more making fun, because he's, like, selling out. He's like, how do I sell more books?
Oh, yeah. Very, very satire type of thing.
Every five pages, they change into a different costume, and then... what's his name? The golden bad guy? The super genius golden robot guy?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Hieronymus or whatever? Dr. Hieronymus or whatever?
Yeah, he makes, like, five... colors of the Goon, like there's a purple one, a red one, a green one, and then they're like, oh, we can sell five different covers, it's five different action figures and
nice
this and that. And then I think the last issue was that about what the hell's his name, the Dr. Voodoo guy.
Oh yeah, that one was kind of dark
guy,
yeah, a bit,
where he's selling his magic powers, and it's like three little short stories about people that came to him that wanted to him to do something for him, and he did it but didn't do it the way they wanted it, and it all turned out bad. That was two of them. I don't remember, I'd already put it away. Usually when I come over there I don't bring it, and you guys have a copy, so
I have it upstairs. I just didn't bring it downstairs because I didn't read it.
Gotcha. Oh, the circus story.
Oh, yeah, kind of the backstory of his aunt or whatever, right?
Yes. So we do get to meet his father.
Yeah.
And his aunt actually raises him.
Right.
So yeah, we got that. Which that was kind of interesting. Which I think, I don't know, at the very beginning of it is dedicated to the best grandma, so I mean, I guess the story's loosely based on her, like that lady, Kizzy or whatever, that joined the circus. I think it's kind of loosely based on his actual grandmother.
It could be.
But yeah, there was that story about the circus and that, and then the second story was the superpower one. And then let's see. Sorry, just going real quick. Oh, the one with the Wayland, the Dukes of Hazzard. The beginning, it's that guy singing, and it's the
Hank Williams looking like or whatever.
Right, and he's singing like the Dukes of Hazzard song or whatever, and it's basically the moonshine, like when.
We're talking about the moonshine, and that one was actually pretty good. That was probably the best of them all in a lot of ways.
Right, and then what do you call it? I can't remember. There's a name for it, and I can't remember it. But when you do the hot rod with the goopy, like in the 70s, like the goopy monster driving the souped up hot rod.
Oh, yeah, Rat Fink.
What is it?
Rat Fink.
Yeah, that. And so, like, that turns into one of the things. There's, like, a Rat Fink thing in there. Which, looking at the page right now, the Rat Fink guy is driving. And he's got it's the little kid from Road Warrior with the boomerang.
God.
Like that character is in like one panel, like riding on that Rat Fink's thing, and he's doing the noise or whatever, and then you don't see him again. Like he's not in the next panel on the dude's shoulder. But I was like, he threw in that like one little like nod to Mad Max. Nice. So yeah, that's basically the goon.
Cool.
Those are the four stories.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Not as strong as the last one, but it was still pretty good.
No, but I did like the Prohibition, the Rat Fink, and I did kind of like the concept of the sellout, the superhero thing. You know what I mean? Like
it made me giggle. Yes.
Huh?
It definitely made me giggle.
Yeah. So anyway.
Cool.
I think that's it.
All right. Wow. That's good. All right.
Good job, Don.
Closing out season 5.
Thanks. Yep.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.